Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Back at it
once again. You already know what time it is. It is Most Boys TV. It's C-Mo and Matchy.
Yes,
you already know what's going on. Today, it is August 2nd, 2023. I feel like this is the fastest year of my lifetime. It feels like just yesterday, it was January 1st, man. It's ridiculous. And, you know, everything's been booming.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Especially when you're booming, time flies. But, yeah, today we got a lot of NFL training camp drama going down.
A lot going on. Crazy out here. Low key, these streets are wicked. These streets are wicked. We want to kick it off with, I feel like this is the hottest subject right now. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor and everything that Jim Irsay is saying over there about JT and just refusing to pay Jonathan Taylor. Now, I understand it may be a little bit, it may sound a little hypocritic. I don't know. But I may be going against my words saying that they should pay JT. But when you have a young year one quarterback like Anthony Richardson, I think you need Jonathan Taylor on that offense. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I think Jim Irsay shouldn't have said what he said. I think Jim
publicly, right? Like that's,
right. That was kind of wild. That quote was kind of wild. He said, "If I died and you died tomorrow, the NFL ain't gonna remember us." Well, first of all, I remember when you got caught with hella pills in, coming out of your plane. Everybody remembers that.
What up, Betalytics? How we doing, baby?
Betalytics, what's up, baby?
Double R on four different platforms. That's
my God. What a supporter. Shout out, Double R. But,
yeah, it's weird. Publicly calling out a player like that, I'm very uncomfortable with it. I don't know. That's just very, very odd. I'm a big believer that you got to keep those types of things in-house, especially when you're having disagreements with your number one player, like the face of your franchise right now.
Mm.
I don't know. It's really tough. You're trying to lead a youth movement, and you're just completely combating any progress you were making. And it really stinks because Anthony Richardson, he's been showing out, right? He gained, they say, about 10 to 12 pounds coming into this offseason. He's throwing a good ball.
I liked him in camp. Yeah,
he's been looking really sharp. So, I don't know. It's just, it's hard probably as a young core over there surrounding Anthony Richardson if you could really buy in like that without your running back, who is also a top, probably the best running back in the league as of last year.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't last year. He had an off year, but the Colts in general had an off year and got to the point where they got Anthony Richardson out of it. But Jim, like I said, Jim Irsay is a degenerate. He has a loose cannon mouth. He's not in the media often, but when he is in the media, it's always something because of something negative.
And he comes off as like a shut up and dribble type of guy. And that's what really irks me about him is because he comes out and publicly speaks against his own players. Like, that's so crazy to me. Not once did we hear from the Maras or even Joe Shane speaking out publicly against Saquon Barkley in the midst of their negotiations. It's really, really classless from Indianapolis. And it's just kind of shocking because they are somewhat touted as a franchise that's very respectable. And now, I don't know, was that all just Peyton Manning? You got lucky with Peyton Manning and a good O-line back then?
Well, I really just think I'm not mad at the decision that they're not paying JT. I mean, that's just the landscape of the NFL right now with the running back situation going on. These guys are getting pennies on the dollars over there in the running back department. I get that part, but when you say a crazy ass quote like that, like, that's kind of wicked. And Jonathan Taylor really ain't say nothing crazy. So what made you come out and say that, you know?
And he's also accusing him of faking an injury, right, with his back issue. And he's basically saying, like, this guy's lying and he just doesn't want to try in training camp. And JT's like, look, man, it was Jonathan Taylor saying, I'm fine, I don't want to be restricted. And Jim Irsay and them saying, no, he has a back issue. This is why we're keeping him out right now. We swear it's not contract issues. It's just because of his back. And Jonathan Taylor is then like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good to go. I'm 100%. I don't know. The discrepancy is bad over there.
Nah, it's weird. And there's been a lot of you know, training camp comes with a lot of injuries as well. You know, training camp comes with a lot of testosterone, a lot of fights, a lot of... It's hot, you know. It gets hot.
Everyone's excited.
you get cooking in the kitchen, you know, the adrenaline starts pumping, the testosterone starts going. And, you know, like, these type of things happen. But, like, on the field it happens, right?
Yeah. Yep.
During practice it happens. It don't happen
in the media.
In the media with an owner and
a player. Yeah,
right,
so. I don't know. I'm just really not a big fan of bringing these in-house issues outside within the media like that. I think going into training camp and already having tension in the locker room, already having your name kind of in reports, in headlines constantly, you're the latest news, it's just not a good look. And even when the Giants were with Saquon, they wanted to get that over with as soon as possible because they didn't want that, right? Especially being a New York team, the New York media is going to run with those headlines. And this is Indianapolis that we're talking about, and it's still big news. So it's really just not a good look on Ursay. And honestly, I'm hoping for the best for Jonathan Taylor. And if we want to lead into it, he's apparently requesting a trade. What is some type of destination that you could see Jonathan Taylor landing in?
I have no clue because none of these NFL teams really care about elite running backs. They really don't care. So, like, who's going to take them at this point? I mean, maybe the Chiefs, obviously. We say the same fucking three teams. Anytime one of these disgruntled-ass running backs.
It's the Chiefs, it's the Bills.
It's the Chiefs, the Bills, the Dolphins, the fucking, the Cowboys. Pick them up, the fucking.
I was thinking maybe the Patriots. They just hosted Ezekiel Elliott for a visit.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, I mean,
how do you feel about that?
You already have Ramondre Stevenson, and I think Ramondre Stevenson, I said it on a post that Leonard had made asking who we thought was a breakout candidate for this year. And I said, this is the year that Ramondre Stevenson becomes a household name. And I still believe that if they look at him as a workhorse, but one thing that Bill Belichick doesn't like to do is give the rock to a singular player, right? Like, we saw it with James White. We saw it with Sony Michel. These are guys that could have gotten a lot of volume that just ended up not because he wanted to go with a more committee style. Now, I don't know. JT and Ramondre, those are two guys that are kind of similar to me, right? Like two power backs in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how they would coexist, but I think it would be an interesting destination. I really don't know what they're cooking over there, you know, with Zeke even or with JT, if that's something that they're interested in. But
they think they cooking, but as long as they have Mac Jones.
Oh, my goodness. As long as you got Mac Jones, right? Like, they... Nobody believes in Mac Jones except the people in New England, I guess.
I guess, because he ain't it. He ain't it, in my opinion.
Stinks on ice.
Where could Zeke actually end up? I mean, I don't...
What is his worth, right? Because this is a guy that only can go downhill.
Veteran minimum?
Yeah, like, the legit minimum. It's really bad. It's scary out here if you're Ezekiel Elliott. You're lucky you got that last contract, because you would probably not make it if you were... this running back as a rookie, right? Like, he was very lucky. He was a little more versatile, a little quicker around the edges. I can't see Zeke having a market like that. I mean, that's probably why you're visiting New England. Where can you see him going? Like, maybe Miami if they settle. But that's, like, really, really settling to me.
I think Zeke is going to go into the NFL season without a team. And I think somebody's going to get injured, and then he's going to get picked up. That is my official Zeke landing spot.
Okay.
We don't know yet.
We don't know
yet. We're not going to know until somebody gets hurt. That's what I'm trying to say. Speaking of contracts, Aaron Rodgers took a $35 million pay cut, wants to give Jets more room to add some. If someone's out there, they want to add somebody. Who could that somebody be, right? Like, obviously, it's fucking Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams
is fucking disgruntled in Las Vegas. It's a dog shit franchise. He made a mistake. He shouldn't have left Green Bay.
Yep.
And now he wants to go meet up with A-Rod in New York. But it's like, that wide receiver room is too full. You already got Garrett Wilson.
It's just so appealing.
Garrett Wilson is the top dog, bro.
He's looking
like
an absolute stud as well. But, man, is it not so appealing to think about that Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams connection in New York? I mean, it is really, really exciting if you're a Jets fan right now. I can't lie. It's pretty everything's electric, you know, even surrounding the Dalvin Cook stuff, even though I think it was his coach or something that tweeted, if Jets fans heard what DC was talking about, they would be heartbroken. But I don't know. I really think he has very serious, heavy interest in the Jets. I really think, I don't know. I think Davante Adams would be a fantastic move regardless. Aaron Rodgers taking a pay cut of 33 or $35 million is absolutely massive. And I think he did that with the intent of it being Davante and Davante only. Because realistically, what other wide receiver is going to be on the market like that?
Maybe he's just not wide receiver. Maybe it's just a plethora of players that they're going to be able to pick up in his very, very short time span with the Jets. I guess he sees a ring chase.
He sees a ring chase right now.
Since the training camp started, and he's like, all right, let me take this pay cut so they can make more moves so I can be in the best position possible to get another ring with a different team to really solidify
my legacy.
Correct.
Yeah, that's
so
tough.
We'll see what happens.
We will see. I really do like, I mean, we talked so much negative stuff about A-Rod in the offseason when he was on his little his bender for a bit in the dark, you know, taking his hallucinogens, but I really got to give him some props for taking Zach Wilson under his wing, because that is something that people said Aaron Rodgers was not going to do whatsoever. They said, if you go and get Aaron Rodgers, I think we even said it. I may have even said it, and I was wrong if so. We said, if you are going to go and get Aaron Rodgers, this is not somebody you can expect to come in and be a mentor to your young guys. Here he is, not only taking a pay cut, setting the tone the same way Tom Brady did when he was ring chasing towards the end of his career, but now he's also taking a young quarterback under his wing, going through, you know, taking his time out of training camp to show him, hey, go about it this way. This is how you're going to read this, you know, defensive scheme, whatever, what, so and so on. It's impressive, and I'm very, very happy that Aaron Rodgers has found his identity, and it seems like his love for the game is somewhat revived in New York.
Right, right. I think he hasn't been around, like, an atmosphere like this. You know, Green Bay is a very small,
let's be realistic,
it's the smallest market in maybe all of sports.
Yeah.
Maybe the smallest market in all of sports. Green Bay, Wisconsin, like this.
Welcome to Green Bay.
You know, like,
yeah, a bunch of cheeseheads. That's it.
Now he is actually in a big market with attention and love. Jets fans are lit. Like,
Jets fans are up right now.
They're fun.
Sure.
They have fun. You know, so I think he likes it. I think he likes it there. Ooh, excuse me, I had to burp. And yeah. I think he wants to help him as much as possible, obviously.
I'm excited for that. But I do have to give some, if we're going to talk about the Packers still, something that was absolutely crazy, and I'm going to send my condolences to linebacker Jonathan Garvin, because my man's, it was his birthday 2 days ago. He gets a tweet from the Packers saying, happy birthday, Jonathan. Everybody wish, you know, Garvin a happy birthday. And 2 hours later, he got cut. So that's just a GG's for bro. I feel for you. That's just tough. On your birthday, getting cut is nasty. They couldn't wait till the next day? Sheesh, it really is a business out here. That's hard.
Like Lil Wayne said, I'll kick you out on your B-day. You know, hey, you know.
It is.
That's the type of business you're in. When you're at a high level, feelings go out the door once millions of dollars are involved.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? $1 million, motherfucker, when $10,000 are involved for me, I don't give a fuck about nobody's feelings. We gonna do what we need to do that's best. You know what I'm saying? So I understand NFL teams not giving a fuck about that shit.
Yeah. No, and I saw a clip of when the Rams were on Hard Knocks, I want to say 2015, whatever, with Jeff Fisher as their coach. And one of the players, he was just a practice squad guy. The rule was no females in the room after a certain time or at all, right?
Yeah,
going
I've seen that
training
clip.
Camp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they said he tried claiming that she was just coming to, like, drop DoorDash off or something like that.
No.
And they were like, all right, okay, you're cut. So that was that.
You're right.
And so it is what it is. It's a cold world out here. And just make sure you wear a sweater. That's really all you could say.
fucking cornball.
Yeah. all right, moving on. Tim Patrick to completely do a 180 here. Condolences out to Tim Patrick. He tears his Achilles just 1 year coming off of an ACL tear. That stinks because he was nice for Denver when he was playing. Good young wide receiving prospect, but that really sucks. And I saw Dr. Jesse Morse, the fantasy doctor, shout out to him. He put something out that basically said that he was going to be favoring that side that he tore that Achilles on because of the ACL injury being on the opposite And that's just a result, basically, of the wear and tear and the favorment of his past injury. So it really just sucks. I hope that he could bounce back. But after two of those types of blows, it's going to be rough. Rough recovery, but, you know, hopefully we see him next season.
Yeah. Broncos wide receivers, man. They always get hurt. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick.
Yeah.
They're always getting hurt, man.
AJ Hamler also. Hamler getting hurt. A heart something, I want to say. Heart or a lung issue. I'm not exactly sure, but it was something of the sorts that where he can't play. Like, they have to have him under tests for a little bit because he's not allowed to play. So it's scary out here if you are a Broncos receiving corps member.
Nah, for sure.
But let's talk about another receiving corps member. Somebody who's showing out. Somebody who is... All eyes are on him right now, and that is Jalin Hyatt at Giants training camp because he is posting, apparently, allegedly, the fastest speed, miles per hour-wise, in the NFL, faster than Tyreek Hill, almost as fast as Usain Bolt. How do we feel about Jalin Hyatt? Is the hype as real as it's seeming right now in training camp?
Yes and no. I feel like he's shown what he can do best at. You know, he's fast as hell.
Yep.
I'm very impressed with the clock times. I'm surprised he didn't have a faster 40 time than what he did, but he didn't. And he's been showing out. Like, he hasn't dropped any balls. He hasn't done anything out of pocket. And that's what I'm happy about. Because, yeah. I'm with it. If we could get an over-the-top threat, and that's the big thing about the Giants' offense. They were packing in eight in the box to stop Saquon. They were, you know, stopping the run, even the Daniel Jones option, you know.
Which you could do because there was nobody to threaten you deep. Now
right.
You have a guy like Jalin Hyatt who can easily get by your secondary. And you have a big body like Darren Waller, who is also showing out in training camp. All of a sudden, that Giants offense becomes a lot more explosive than we've come to know last year. You know, just a season ago, this is a completely different offense. You're under the second year of Brian Daboll having a complete control over the Daniel Jones and his arm. So I'm very, very excited. And Jalin Hyatt, I mean, I'm not going to put any unrealistic expectations
on
him.
Yeah, that's what I don't want to do.
But I do think that he is going to be a guy we are going to see multiple times throughout the season be a difference maker in a game.
Yeah, I think it's really not even going to be up to Jalin Hyatt. I think it's going to be up to Daniel Jones being able to connect with Jalin Hyatt because he is so fucking fast, and Daniel Jones has not dealt with somebody this fast
of that
ever.
Speed.
He's never dealt with this type of player before. I want to see... Now, I always thought Daniel Jones has a great long ball.
Mm-hmm.
He has a great spiral, and it connects well. But can he actually hit these guys deep consecutively and consistently?
Yep.
You know? That's the key. I know he's going to be able to hit Waller. Waller's going
to
have a great year.
he's going to
have a great year as long as he stays healthy. But the real... key and difference maker for this Giants offense is going to be Jalin Hyatt, Daniel Jones connection. If that connection can happen, consistently, my words are all messed up. That's going to make all the difference.
It's going to be a big, big difference maker. I mean, a guy of that speed, definitely want handling the rock. I mean, get
Not
him the
sure.
ball by any means and just give him a little bit of space, and he's going to be cooking. So I'm very excited. And with the quote that the Cowboys, the Cowboys wide receiver coach made, I don't know, there's a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, definitely, in these NFC rivalry games.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
He basically said, you are just speed. You're not a route runner. He said, we'll see. That was it. That's what he said when it came to Jalin Hyatt running routes. And Hyatt apparently
we'll see week
took
one.
That personally.
We're going to see week one for sure.
We will definitely see week one. Let's
talk
about
the Cowboys.
I was
going
to say, let's keep it on the Cowboys because mm-hmm. this next subject is kind of mind-boggling to me. Cowboys running back Ronald Jones, formerly with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, has been suspended 2 games for PEDs. Now, where things get a little sticky is that Ronald Jones has suspended 2 games for the same PEDs that got DeAndre Hopkins suspended for 6 games last season.
Hmm. Was it D-Hop's first offense?
Yes.
Interesting.
I don't know. Like, that's what... We're picking and choosing here.
Yeah. That's how it usually goes. When the spotlight is on somebody, they're going to get a harsher penalty.
That is what it is, basically, of DeAndre Hopkins. Yep. But then again, like, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, Ronald Jones...
Who cares? Like, you know what I'm saying? They're like, fuck it. It's Ronald Jones. Who gives a fuck? He's a backup running back for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Shout out to him for his fantasy points when he was playing with Tom Brady, though. That was
really cool. Yeah, he was tough. And on the Bucks. That's when he was really eating.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Cowboys, Trayvon Diggs was barking at Dak.
That's awesome.
Calling him a bitch ass nigga.
Mm.
Is why. So look, I want to dig into that because, like, that is your number two defensive player. He's not number one defensive player.
Definitely
not. And your captain, per se. You would think that they would have unity with each other, even though it's quarterback versus cornerback.
Even mutual respect.
Just respect or something.
We don't gotta be friends, but I'm going to respect you, and we're teammates because we're both captains of this ship.
They're two of the highest paid players on the team. And you just see the blatant disregard of respect from Trayvon Diggs to Dak Prescott. That's going to send a message to everybody else on that Dallas Cowboys team, and obviously the media, because the media heard it and now everybody's seen it. They don't care about Dak.
No.
And this probably is going to be his last year as a Dallas Cowboy. I see it. I already see it.
Double R says that Dak was talking some shit. So I don't know. I mean, can Dak Prescott, Ernest said it perfectly on Facebook. That guy's out here throwing up punts, basically. He stinks. Like, Dak, I don't know, man. I really think the Cowboys could plug in. Like, obviously, he's with Indianapolis now, but he was with the Cowboys. I think you could plug in Gardner Minshew, and you're going to get that same production that you were getting, maybe even better, minus a couple interceptions from Dak Prescott. Dak is that bad to me.
He hasn't looked good in training camp. He's been throwing punts.
He's been throwing up punts, and, you know, every time that we get to, you know, talk a little trash, the edit's going to come through, and we're going to throw up the pictures of him getting beaten up at college. So it's just every time we get to rag on Dak, you got to do it, and it's going to be kind of upsetting when he's playing for the XFL because we're not going to get to chat about him as much.
That might be a landing spot for Zeke, too, XFL.
Yeah, they're going to be a nasty duo. Or if they play some arena football, Dak to T.O. could go crazy. That Cowboy connection, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Double R says, on the quarterback run in that clip, he was talking, chirping, and Diggs responded. Yeah, and then Dak went and threw the ball back at him. And yeah, that was kind of soft because Diggs had his back turned to you. So, I don't know. When it comes down to it, Dak is not about it.
Nah, he's not with the shits at all. I can't lie.
The Dak is whack.
Dolphins signed Burnt Toast Eli Apple, Tyreek Hill's enemy.
And Tyreek Hill said this practice at Monday is about to be fun.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Now, obviously, it's probably in good spirits. They probably are just cool now. You know, their teammates are not going to fucking beef with each other, all types of crazy. Ja, is Dak Romo 2.0? I think Dak is worse than Romo, way
Dak
worse.
Absolutely.
Way
Romo's
worse than Romo.
Ceiling was... Well, this guy could win a Super Bowl, right?
Like, yeah. I actually believe the Cowboys could win a Super Bowl with Tony Romo.
Yeah, no, I
Dak,
did as well.
I have no confidence in
nope.
the Cowboys going anywhere nope. past the second round with Dak Prescott.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And honestly, I don't even see them winning a first round this year.
They're not making the playoffs this year, I don't think.
Scary out here.
I predict the Cowboys as a third-place team. 8-9, bro. 9-8.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that kind of somewhat moved me this offseason was them getting Brandon Cooks. But that's just another Jerry Jones-type contract that they went out and got. It's just another name, another jersey that they were trying to sell, a familiar face down in the state of Texas. I don't know. I'm good off of everything that the Cowboys have. That's not even, coming from a standpoint of hate as a Giants fan. It's just you look down there, and as long as Jerry Jones is the one running things and he's the guy pulling the puppet strings, you are not going to see success, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. So, do we think Eli Apple is going to move the needle? I obviously don't.
Does Eli Apple move the needle? Now, I mean, there's not much pressure on him because you have a guy like Jalen Ramsey on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So,
he's a good, like, he's a decent number two, number
three.
He's going to
compliment Ramsey well, I think.
He's a good compliment.
Plus
corner.
Xavien Howard over there, so.
Yeah, he's going to be the number three. So, I mean, There's not, his expectations are low, so if he does anything decent, his head's going to get gassed up, and he's going to talk shit. I don't have a problem with, like, I actually always had a problem with Eli Apple, to keep it a buck with you, because I always thought he was ass on the Giants. And then he left the Giants and started, just thought he could just talk shit crazy to everybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Real ones were always DeAndre Baker fans back then. But
I was a Baker fan.
He was the man.
I'm still pissed about DeAndre Baker.
He was supposed to be next. Eli Apple's been ass. That's a fact. Eli Apple's been burnt toast his whole career. He will always be ass. That's facts.
I agree.
He stinks. But, all right, let's talk about Joe Burrow, because another instance with the Bengals here where it's getting really sticky on how much you should be playing your absolute superstars in training camp, right? Like, they're probably not going to play in preseason at all. And now he can't.
He's not going to be able to. He strained his calf. Right.
Strained his calf, and we're going to get to see him at least on the show quarterbacks. So that'll be cool, his recovery process through it. So, I mean, that's exciting. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. How much do you think you should be playing your number one guys in training camp? Or how hard should they be going?
Well, I just think the Joe Burrow thing was a freak accident. It was on the first day of training camp. He didn't stretch correctly. He was rusty, I guess. It's not like he got hit, because all quarterbacks have a red shirt on during training camp. You're not allowed to be touched during training camp. So as far as quarterbacks go, they should be getting as many reps as possible in training camp. Now, as far as wide receivers, safeties, corners, linebackers, everything else pretty much should be based on how much of a veteran you are and how long you've been in the league and your injury history. If you're known to get hurt, chill out.
Yeah, CM,
you know?
CMC, just kick it, bro.
Yeah. Off-season's
a little longer.
Make sure you do walkthroughs. Make sure you do 7-on-7s. You know, and even that is kind of risky with, you know. But a rookie like Jalen Hyatt, no. You need to get as many fucking reps as possible.
Oh, yeah. You know? Anthony Richardson, you need to get a ton of reps.
You got
to
get the reps. But, like, veterans that are known to get hurt, chill. You know?
Yeah, a guy in a position like Joe Burrow's, you got to chill. The Patrick Mahomes, the Justin Herberts, the Josh Allens, you guys got to relax.
Nah, I don't think so. I think they still got to do every rep.
Well, in intensity-wise, yes. But, I mean, you have to be smart at the same time. Like, this Joe Burrow incident can't just you can't be not stretched enough. Like, you have, like,
that was, it was literally Joe Burrow's fault, though. It wasn't the Bengals' fault. Like, Burrow should have been more stretched.
You have to be,
that's on him. But, like I said, it was the first day of camp. And it wasn't even, like, it was a step back and a fucking, he planted his foot and fucking
just strained
his shit. Like,
yeah, it happens.
What can literally stop that, really? You know what I'm saying? Other than stretching OD long, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but let's talk the defensive side here. Danielle Hunter released from the Minnesota Vikings. That's a good defensive edge presence over there that got released and is now on the market. What are some teams we could see interested in Danielle Hunter?
Danielle Hunter, not the Giants. I was hoping that
the Giants would.
No,
but
we're good on defensive line. I don't know who needs pass rushing, you know?
I was going to say Miami. I feel like he could be a guy that goes down there and put him in some warm weather, and I think he could really thrive, especially on an edge like that. They have all the secondary help that they need. Just get a guy like Danielle Hunter to really set the tone down there in the trenches, and I feel like they could be rocking and rolling.
I think Hunter just goes to, like, a random team. I don't think he goes to any...
A big contender?
I don't think he goes to a contender.
To somebody just...
Just whoever's willing to pay him. Yeah. I can't see
Arizona.
Him. Nah, for real. Dead ass. Like, an Arizona, like, a team that's, like, not mid. Like, I could see, like, the Jags getting him. I think that would be a great spot for him.
I can see him going to, like, a Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, you know.
Him and TJ.
Teams that are building up and need some veteran presence and need, you know, more pass rush.
Yeah.
That's why I said the Jags. I feel like the Jags are that perfect, like, they're coming up.
on the come
they
up,
still need you
that
know
guy to lead them like that.
Right. They need some more defensive presence and
to rally the troops like that.
Okay. Yeah, I like the Jags.
Okay.
Mm. Sony Michel retired.
Sony Michel did retire. That's kind of crazy. I really thought he was going to be on the up and up when he got drafted. I thought he was in a great position originally with the Rams, I believe, right? Or no, with the Patriots when he got drafted. I really, really liked him there. And I thought he was going to be one of those Bill Belichick guys for sure. I thought we were going to be hearing about him for years to come. So I don't know. Hats off to Sony Michel for he got that ring with the Rams. So, you know, that's a dub for him.
Nah, I agree. I agree. Damn. Anything else with the NFL? So there's a couple things I want to talk about for
NFL's
sure.
NFL's been kind of smoked otherwise.
I want to talk about trade deadline for MLB, the Mets fire sale.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you saw, but Joe Kay earlier said that. Can you talk about the Mets practicing their World Series celly?
No, because that shit was bullshit. And we don't know what the fuck they were celebrating. It could have been anything, but like it looked like a World Series celebration, I guess. I don't know. It was in spring training, I'm guessing. It was in Florida during spring training. I mean, it was probably their first practice. Like, all right, we're going to set the tone and do a fucking whatever, do a World Series celebration to get in the mindset, you know? Stupid, you know, but nothing really worth fucking talking about, honestly.
Not much worth talking about in the MLB because we sit here as two men, fans of baseball teams that are both very, very bad right now and are very much underwhelming and did not meet expectations whatsoever for this season. I mean, but the only difference is the Mets at least got some value back. Like, the Mets got,
we got some good,
some
value
good
back for sure.
young players. You got Ronald Acuna Jr.'s younger brother. Mm-hmm. You got two Triple-A studs. The one kid from Texas. But then here I sit as a fan of the New York Yankees, the most successful franchise in all of sports with 27 World Series championships.
Oh, shut
and,
up.
Oh, my God. Y'all just sat on your hands the entire trade deadline. It's embarrassing to be a fan of the Yankees right now because it's really bad. And it's funny because we're five games above 500 and yet the sky is falling. But you're in last place. You watched other teams like the Blue Jays. As soon as Bo Bichette even had the slightest of injury the other night, they went out and got Paul DeJong from St. Louis. And
I do like Paul DeJong, too. He's a beast.
I really like that. And other teams in the division are just getting better. You're not better than the O's. You know you're not better than the Rays. And it's scary out here. It's not looking good for the Yankees that are just stuck in purgatory. Domingo Germán now on the restricted list with alcohol abuse. Oh my goodness, bro. It's all bad and Big George rolling in his grave.
Yeah, well, about my Mets, you know, like you said, we got some good value back. And like, even though I'm not really fucking with Epler right now and I feel like he's on the hot seat, he did get some, he fleeced the Astros in my opinion.
Definitely.
He got how do you get the number one and the number four prospects in your farm? On the Astros farm system, which, by the way, is one of the best farm systems
out there, in the
league, period.
They produce, it's almost like the American League Braves.
For a player that literally played for y'all last year and is 40, damn near 40 years old.
I think the only part of the deal where the Mets, like, the reason that they fleeced so hard was being that I think they have to pay $36 million to Verlander still.
And that's going to happen this year, but still, we're clearing up the cap.
Yeah.
We're clearing the cap. I see the vision. I see what they're trying to do. We had to get rid of these guys. It was an experiment that didn't work.
Well,
and
let's talk about the future because Max Scherzer, after being traded from the Mets, leaked that the future plans for the Mets are to win in 2025 and 2026 and that they're not looking at this year or next year as a contending year.
I seen that, and I still think we can go after Otani this offseason and still have that game plan.
Because Bob Nightingale said that's going to hinder the Mets' run for Otani because Otani wants to win now, so you could count the Mets out. Now, I don't think you're counting the Mets out, right?
You're not going to count
stupid.
Out $600 million cold fucking cash.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what any of these fucking dumbass reporters want to say. Money talks in this league, especially the MLB. Money fucking talks, bullshit walks. And guess who has the most? We do. And that's the trump card I'm always going to pull out. Anytime anybody wants to talk shit about the Mets, fine. That's cool. Yeah, we have the biggest payroll, and we're going to continue to, and we're going to continue to, and we're going to continue to until we have a fucking studded out fucking lineup that can't be fucked with. And that's it. I'm not worried about it. Yeah, it didn't work this year, but it worked last year, and it will work again. All right. That's how I look at it.
There you go.
And I want to move on to boxing real quick.
Let's talk about it.
Bud Crawford beat the fucking dog shit out of Errol Spence. Holy shit.
Bro was giving that man hands. But let's also talk about after the fight. Now, Spence said, didn't mention any of this, but there are rumors coming from his camp that he was fatigued and a bit dehydrated heading into it, that they saw it in his eyes, in his face, that his water retention was not there, and he was kind of a little too exhausted trying to make weight. How do you feel?
That's boxing. That's straight. That's not an excuse for me, because that's literally boxing. Like, wrestling kids in high school, that's when they have to drop weight and they're tired and they lose, that's not an excuse you can use. And that's the same thing with any combat sport or any sport in general, where you have to cut weight and meet a certain weight class to be on that particular team.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse, because you're choosing to fight in this weight class. Well, you're choosing to not hydrate.
It wasn't Spence. He didn't say that. It was somebody from his camp Wilder.
So, I know.
I don't know.
Even if it's from his camp. It's not an excuse from his camp. I know. Spence is a stand-up guy. He's not going to fucking put out excuses. He lost. He straight up lost. And honestly, Spence didn't even put up a bad fight. Bud just put up a fucking amazing piece of fucking work.
Legitimately,
he beat the fucking shit out of him, and Spence was trying to respond. Like, he was trying to swing back,
fight back.
He was trying to, but it just wasn't working. Yeah. It just wasn't working. And I think Bud Crawford, hands down, is the best boxer in the world. All weight classes.
Yep.
Better than Tank. Better than all that. And now I want to spin back to my post in the group today where Tank actually said that he can beat Bud in 6 rounds. I don't think so. Because I'm going to just say one because of weight. Mm. Bud fights at 150 something, and Tank fights at barely at 140.
Yeah,
barely above.
Tank would have to come up, because I don't think Bud is dropping any lower than 154.
Yeah, Tank would have to come up, and Bud would probably have to drop down one class, but Tank would have to go up 2 classes.
That's a lot,
and that is just especially for somebody as small as Tank. Tank is small, and I don't even think he can gain weight like that. Like, this is his natural weight that he's fighting at. Like,
he would look very bulky. He'd probably
he'd be sluggish. So he wouldn't be able to move and be that defensive guy that he's known to be, and counterpunch and have the swiftness and fast punching skills like he usually does. But Crawford, he can do everything that Tank does, but with power.
Oh yeah,
that's the difference. And I mean, look, Tank has power, don't get me wrong. But Tank has power against smaller guys, right? He would not have power against a Bud Crawford.
Yeah, 154, 155 power is a lot different than 140 power and 135 power.
Right, so exactly.
It's going to be, I mean, that as a boxing fan, I would want to see it.
And Bud even said in his post game, he was like, Spence was hitting me, but it just didn't, I didn't feel it.
Yeah. That was his fight to win. That was it was him or nothing, and he was a warrior. And that's something, like they said during the broadcast, that like this fight's going to be talked about for years, and it will definitely. It was that type of performance.
Yeah, I shout out to Bud, man, because people were were underestimating him, including myself. Mm-hmm. I really thought Errol Spence was going to win. I really thought Errol Spence was in Bud's head, but what I've seen from Bud has really showed me
he's him.
And damn, I feel almost embarrassed for sleeping on him, you know. But you know, can't be right all the time, right?
Just most
of the time over here at Most Sports,
you know.
But I think that's gonna wrap it up for the week, man.
Another off-season week in the books.
Next week we start NFL preview. Official NFL team previews is lit from here on out. You already know football season's back. The Hall of Fame game is tomorrow, right?
Is it tomorrow, the 3rd? Tomorrow's the Jets.
Jets-Browns Hall of Fame game. So, damn, we fucking back, gang. We back for real. And I can't wait to show y'all all the things we got in store over here at Mo Sports. Make sure y'all tap in and support.
Don't forget to get you a shirt.
Get you a Mo Sports shirt. For real. Little 25 cash. Why not? All right, y'all. Appreciate y'all be good. I'll see y'all next Tuesday. Let's get it. Peace.